Yeah. Bless you, Lizzie.
Thank you. Thank you, Martin. Yeah, that song, that first song really is totally the Easter message. If we could just really enter into that and meditate on that or just worship with that, it really is everything we need. So thank you so much, John and Beryl. So I'll just pray and then I'll start. So I welcome you, Holy Spirit. I just pray that you will come and touch every heart and touch the words that are here, Lord. Ride on them and impact tender hearts with what you want to say. Help us to hunger more for you because of what's happening today. Help us to pursue you and to discover you and to experience you more. We thank you for your resting upon us now. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll just give the credits where they're due, which is, of course, to the Holy Spirit, to the Word of God, also to John France for when I checked out something with him, and to Jonathan Kahn. I'm a great fan of Jonathan Kahn, and you'll probably notice the bits that I've gleaned from him. So first of all, I'd like to read from Mark 16. Starting from Mark 16, first one. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen." And I'd also like to read from Romans 6, verse 3 and 4. "Have you forgotten that all of us who were immersed into union with Jesus, the Anointed One, were immersed into union with his death? Sharing in his death by our baptism means that we were co-buried and entombed with him, so that when the Father's glory raised Christ from the dead, we were also raised with him. We have been co-resurrected with him so that we could be empowered to walk in the freshness of new life." This is a deep and a wondrous thing, and I'm believing for the Holy Spirit to be the truth giver and the revealer and the inheritance giver. In order to major on the resurrection, we need to look first at Jesus' death. An interesting and poignant fact is that at a certain time, the soldiers came to break the legs of those being crucified. On either side of Jesus, the criminals' legs were broken. And what happens in crucifixions is that when the legs are broken, the person can no longer hold himself up to give more space for the lungs to fill with air. And when the legs are broken, the lungs collapse and suffocation ensues. Have you ever had any thoughts about why Jesus died before them? I'm sure you have. As he was on the cross and cried out, "It is finished," he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Amazing. Why could he do that? What had happened at that point? 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree." The two others were crushed when their legs were broken. Jesus was crushed when the weight of my sin, of your sin, the sins of the whole world, both present and future, were laid upon him. So he was crushed. So it is finished. So he could give up his spirit and die. This was on Friday. This was the day of preparation for Passover. The next day was a high Sabbath following Passover. This has always been a bit of a mystery to me, because Jesus and his disciples took Passover together on the Thursday, and then we read that Saturday is the Passover. Whereas in fact, Passover was on the Thursday, but this Saturday after the crucifixion was also called the Passover. It was known as a high Sabbath. And the third day was Sunday, and to us it is Resurrection Day, the day the angel said to Mary Magdalene in Mark 16, "He is not here, he has risen, just as he said." And we can join with the angels, rejoicing and celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. He bore our sins, our infirmities, our guilt, regrets, disappointments. He bore all the things we wished we hadn't done, all the awful things that have been perpetrated against us, and all the awful things we may have perpetrated against others, and all the shame. The wonder is, I cannot change my past, but what Jesus did for me on Calvary enables me to live as if I had never sinned, as if my heart had never been broken, as if you had never sinned, as if your heart had never been broken, just as if I'd never sinned, justified, and you too. He gave us a new beginning. The timing of Resurrection Day is absolutely awe-inspiring. It is the month of Nisan, the beginning of the new year. It is the first season, spring, a season of new beginnings and fresh life. It is the first day of the week, the beginning of a new week. It is the first day of the Festival of Weeks, also known as First Fruits. The Hebrew word for first fruits is rashit, or new beginning. It's the same word used for creation in Genesis, in the beginning, and also in John 1 verse 1, in the beginning. Resurrection Day is a new beginning, or a new creation. So Jesus is risen from the dead, and for those of us who believe in him, we too are risen from death into life and get a new beginning. Hallelujah. I often think I needed a new beginning more than anyone else. At least I am so thankful for that new beginning. To me, this is so encouraging. No way do we see and understand all that God does or is doing, but this revelation of his timing so speaks of his plan, his purpose, and his sovereignty. It gives me such hope for my own life that nothing concerning me from God's hand is random. One of the names for Resurrection Day I want to pick up on is the Day of First Fruits. First Fruits is a festival celebrated and told about in the Old Testament in Leviticus and Numbers. Once the Israelites had entered the land, it was always observed on the first day of the week after Passover. So this was a firmly established celebration. The priest would wave a sheaf of grain before the Lord as an offering of first fruits, which also speak of the harvest to come. These seeds had been sown in autumn. Even though the events leading up to the crucifixion seemed to be organized by men, the fact that Resurrection Day occurs on this ancient day of celebration known as First Fruits just shows who is really in charge of everything. At sunrise on the morning of the First Fruits in 32 AD, the priests were waving the sheaf of grain before the altar, and the women arrived at the tomb to prepare his body for permanent burial. But the tomb was empty. He had risen. He is known as the first fruits of them that slept, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. And he is the perfect prophetic fulfillment of the ancient celebration of first fruits, celebrated since Israel came into the promised land. James 1 verse 17 to 18 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he had created. So we, like Jesus, are first fruits, and we are also his harvest. The first fruits actually foretell the harvest. I have discovered, while studying all of this, a deeper revelation of the heart of our Creator, Redeemer God. We obviously glory and rejoice in the fact of Jesus being raised from the dead, but what does it mean for us day by day? I can only bring my own story to bear here. I know that some of you have heard a lot of my testimony, but it's still powerful, and it's also for people who haven't heard it. So early in 1977, I was suffering with a severe depression and anxiety, and had been told I would be on medication for the rest of my life. I had slowing of speech and a voice lacking in tone and burdened movements, and I couldn't follow through on actions like picking up a blouse to iron it would suddenly become a mystery, and I wouldn't be able to do that. It actually was and is known as the retardation of depression and described as a major depressive disorder. At the time, I felt my life was pointless, without hope, in fact, void and empty. All seemed vanity. At that time, I met a few Christians and eventually went to their very weird church, CCF. Very weird indeed through the eyes of an unbeliever. However, there was something incredibly real about them. I heard someone near me say, "Thank you, Jesus." Well, I looked up to see if he was there and what he had given them that they should say thank you. It was that real. I eventually asked three of these people to dinner, and they were desperate to pray for me, but I felt rather afraid. They said I needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Who is he? Then Roger said to me, "You do love Jesus, don't you, Lizzie?" My reply was, "How could I love someone I didn't know?" His reply was, "Just imagine, Lizzie, Jesus loves you, even knowing you and everything you have done." Well, in that moment, the love of God flooded into my heart like liquid gold. I had never known love like this. They prayed for me that I would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I, who had this serious retardation of depression, now flung my arms in the air shouting, "I'm so happy, I'm so happy." I became quite drunk in the Holy Spirit. They eventually left and I went to the kitchen to do the washing up and had dinner together. I lit up a cigarette. I hadn't smoked while they were there, but it was a serious addiction for me. And as I stubbed it out, I turned to the low kitchen window to pull the curtains. Framed within the window was Jesus. I spoke his name. I fell to the ground on hard flag stones, worshipping and speaking in tongues. Yes, it is all a wonder, and I'm so grateful. There's much, much more I could say. I was changed in remarkable ways in that moment. I now had, for the first time, an expectation for good. What I now know was that the Spirit of God came and breathed life in me, and I received the resurrection life of Jesus. I, who knew darkness and an empty void like a tomb, had been raised with Jesus to share his life. It reminds me of Genesis 1 verse 2. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God brooded, brought forth life over the waters. It reminds me also of the tomb as Jesus lay without life. The Spirit of God hovered, brooded, and brought forth life, and he is risen. Hope was planted in my heart. Many things got instantly changed from death to life when I got my new beginning. My vocabulary was changed instantly. My depression became joy unspeakable. There was light in my darkness. But like with first fruits, there's more to come. Not everything seemed to change. although I do believe there was a complete exchange at that moment from my death to his life. I had received eternal life. But there is still some transitioning to see more resurrection life some 44 years later. It is a journey for all of us to come into faith and hope to see an increase of resurrection life where we're not experiencing it. Some deliverances and healings are instant, some are not. For instance, it took 3 years for me to know and to trust God enough to be set free of smoking and to be healed of the reasons for my smoking. It's important to know the truth of God's word. The old is gone, a new life has begun, 2 Corinthians 5:17. But don't be discouraged if you see dark areas in your life still. I'm presently saying to these areas of my life, and as I pray for others, let there be light. Remain in hope for continuing change. He has started this process of resurrection. Keep hope burning. Hope is where the future is birthed, and hope is the fuel for the journey. We need his resurrection, his first fruits, his new beginning every day. Out of interest, the new covenant, the actual word for new covenant means new, fresh, and it's fresh every day. And we can take advantage of that being fresh every day. And frankly, I need that. I need to have that resurrection life, that new beginning every day, and sometimes more than every day, as it were. I hope some of that's been interesting for you and that it will help you to want to study more. I'm so excited by studying more of the word, and I would really encourage all of you, any of you, to study for even just for sharing with one or two friends. Because as you do that, you learn so much. So much is revealed to you. It becomes an experience, not just words. So I'd really encourage you to study more of the word. So I'd like to pray for us now. Father God, thank you for giving us Jesus to be our new beginning and our resurrection life that we can avail ourselves of every moment of our lives, to see life instead of death and light, not darkness, freedom, not bondage, birth afresh that hope in our hearts. Blow upon that hope that each day we may know that new beginning, an increase in the revelation and experience of resurrection life and of ourselves as your most beloved children. Amen.